Amen. We thank you for your giving. We are appreciative of all that you do. Let us bow our heads and let us pray over the preaching moment. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we praise you and we lift you up and we honor you, God. We pray that you would bless this preaching moment, God. This is a collective effort with the speaker as well as the listener. You are the purveyor of the message. We are just the vessels to either receive or to give, to partake or to share. And so we come together as a unit to hear what you have to say to us, God. We thank you that revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered, uninterrupted, and unchecked by any satanic or demonic forces. Thank you, Father. Your spirit will move up and down every aisle, in and out, every row, and no one's coming will be in vain, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say,
Amen.
Amen. All right, with your Bibles in your hands, you go ahead and grab that, and then actually, I'm not going to do it this part. Mother Mitchell, will you go ahead and do it, and y'all repeat after her.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will have what it says I will have.
Move on.
Living our vision every day.
Hold on, I'll go ahead and wait, I'm going to have you do it, but I usually add this part. We are a part of Deliverance Temple.
We are a part of Deliverance Temple.
Where we love.
Where we love.
Now go ahead and take over.
By living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually.
We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively.
We commit to serve creatively.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Father God, feed us this word.
Feed us this word.
Amen. Come on, put your hands together this morning. Great. Great. I do believe, I will say this, I want to give you guys credit. There is an atmosphere from the beginning of, somewhere around the beginning of this year. I preached a message called What Else, which was kind of a fussing message to get us in line. But for the rest of that time, there is just a preaching anointing that is here that's not coming just from the podium. It's coming from the pews. And let me say, I appreciate the way that you guys are helping in that preaching moment. So we just want to commend you because it makes it better when you have people talking back to you. Not just the talking back, because you can be quiet, but when you bring a spirit that you're ready to receive, it unlocks something in the spirit realm. Amen? So somebody say, I come ready to receive. Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Amen. All right, so we're going to do a little recap. And so once again, we do thank you. So we're just going to recap really quickly. I got the boys doing two things, so that's why it's going to take them a little while. But last week we talked about shine, and it was in line with the eclipse. How many got a chance to experience the eclipse just by a raise of hands? Amen. Just a beautiful thing just to see the handiwork of God. I enjoyed it just being with my family. But I'm one of those people that whenever I look in nature, I always see the handiwork of God. I don't need a special event like the eclipse. Just anything. And the other day I was riding with Dylan, and I told him, I said, look at the clouds. They look like mountains as we're driving. He's like, I don't see it. I was like, look. He's like, oh, I see it. And I was like, in Muncie, we don't have mountains. I've been in places where you have mountains, but every now and then the clouds are hanged low and look like mountains. So I was like, God, thank you for that. Thank you for everything. So let's just recap with a definition of eclipse. We'll try to run through our recap pretty quickly. go backwards to the eclipse. It says, an obscuring of light from one celestial body by the passage of another between it and the observer, or between it and the source of illumination. So we discussed three things that block the light, and then we discussed four things that allowed the light. All right, and so the first one we talked about as far as the blockage was sin. The first thing on the allow was righteousness. The second thing on the blocking was chaos. And the second on the allowing was God's word. The third on the blocking was judgment. And then we had two on the unlocking or the allowing, and it was repentance one, and then receive was the other. And so then we left you with this statement as a summary, and it was this: if you have repented and received, the only thing left to do is to shine. And then we had a confession where we confessed, and we will do that again at the end of this sermon. We will confess again, but this was our confession. You don't have to repeat it after me, but it may be something you want to keep in your memory. It said this: nothing is going to block my shine because victory is mine. Now, if you grew up in the type of church that I grew up in, then you would know and understand that was one of the songs that we would sing. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, because victory today is mine. So we I did this a little bit out of order because I did it for a reason. I did give you just an acronym for SHINE that I got out of just from the internet, and it was just simply this: serve him in everything. This is one of the ways that we plan on shining, is serving him in everything. And so that leads us to this place we are going to be in, SHINE part two. So that gets us all ready. And in the back, go ahead and help him out so he can see what he's doing. He's going to adjust the camera for a minute, and then we're going to get right in to it. All right, so let's look at the last scripture that we used last week, and that's going to springboard us into part two. So Isaiah 61 and 2, I'll go ahead and read it. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Just make an emphasis on the fact that darkness is happening simultaneously with the light. And there is a world of darkness because there's evil in the land, and that is not going to shift, and that is not going to change. Just because you're shining is not going to automatically cure and fix all the evil of the world. Evil is evil, and evil's going to be evil. And I say it all the time, you can't even get the word live without having the same letters for the word evil. But as things continue to get darker and people continue to get darker, when you have the light, it becomes a time for you to arise and shine. So this is not the time for us to be hiding. This is not the time for us to be just as evil as everybody else. This is the time for us to shine, arise and shine. And the scripture says how we're going to arise is not just in our own energy, but the glory of the Lord is going to come on you. Let me give you an example. You ever met a woman that maybe she was newly married 1, 2, 3 years, and she had this extra glow on her? And some women, especially women who've had children before, they'd be like, girl, are you pregnant? You got that pregnant glow. Well, I ain't told nobody. I can see it on you. Excuse my terminology, but for some of them who got married and were virgins and they finally got them some, they got a glow. You take a man that's been waiting and waiting, and he come out, brother, he got a glow on himself just to shine. It's a glory when things begin to click for you and begin to happen for you. Everybody can be sad. Everybody can be in a funky mood. Everybody can be in a bad mood, but you got a glow on you. You got a pep in your step. And I'm trying to let you know, yes, things are getting dark. Yes, the news is crazy. Yes, the election cycle is coming up again. But there's going to be a select few of us that have a shine regardless of what's going on around us. You could be in the same house with people and be the only one shining. You could be the only one in your department shining. Everybody complaining, everybody frustrated. But there's just something about you. That there was an old song that said, I got a feeling that everything gonna be all right. I can't put my finger on it. I can't explain it. But there's something down on the inside that let me know it ain't gonna be like this forever. And you begin to shine. Now, one thing that happens when you have a feeling like this and you're the odd man out, there was something in Sesame Street that used to say that that everybody is doing their own thing. And sometimes you got to be this one that's doing your own thing. But when you're doing your own thing, there's always somebody that tries to dim your shine. Some people dim it out of hateration, and some people dim it just trying to get you to be realistic. Well, sweetheart, well, I got this idea of a business. Well, sweetheart, you know you live in Muncie. I know I live in Muncie, but that don't mean I still can't have a global business right here from Delaware County in Muncie. And not everybody's trying to be mean. Sometimes they're just trying to make it be realistic. Sometimes it's your parents. They're trying to tell you, baby, be realistic. You know when you graduated, you was just a C student. But baby, something's different in me now. Stop holding what I used to be against me. I feel like I can prosper right here. Well, I got to go to Atlanta to prosper. Oh, go ahead, go to Atlanta. But I feel like I can be blessed right here, right now, in 2024, 2025, 2026, and 2027. Well, what if Trump get in office? Well, what if, I don't care who get in office. I feel like I can still shine.
Hallelujah.
All right. So having said that, let me adjust and let me set up where we're going, because I'm going to have to go a little negative to bounce us back in the positive direction. So go ahead and pull this up here on the screen. And so we're going to be framing this with a lot of scriptures, but my major scripture that I'm building off of is Paul's shipwreck. And I want to give us just a little background on what was going on with Paul. He had an intense desire to get to Rome. And even the prophets around him said, don't go to Rome, because if you head in that direction, there's going to be much harm for you. And Paul said, I still want to go. I don't care if it's going to be difficult. See, when you have that shine in you, you're not afraid of obstacles. So the obstacles were going to be in front of him. And Paul said he still wanted to go. And so a lot of things led up, and one of the last things, as he was heading on the ship, getting ready to go to Rome, there was a major shipwreck. The scripture talks about it in Acts 27, talks about the fact that they were without food for 14 straight days, 2 weeks without food, and not even knowing whether they were going to live or die. Couldn't even see the sun. The storm was so thick and the clouds were so dark, they didn't even see the light of the day, so they were stuck in a bad place. And all Paul was trying to do was the will of God. Let me say this. When you're trying to do the will of God and shine, it's one thing when you're shining out of ego and shining out of arrogance. It's another thing when you're trying to shine doing the will of God. Many times darkness comes after you. It's not just the regular darkness. It's demonic darkness. Try to do something right. Some of y'all, as long as I was doing things wrong, things were easy. But the moment I try to do things right, it's like darkness comes, depression comes. Stuff I hadn't been addicted with in years is starting to pop up back up in my life. It's not that you are a bad person. It's that darkness has set itself in array against you. And this is not for the weak. This is not for the wishy-washy. Christianity is not for the wishy-washy. And walking, not just in Christianity, walking in the calling of God for your specific life is not easy. I don't always share because I can't. I don't always share everything that I've been through, but because of me being in therapy and because of my insurance shifting, I had to have three different therapists before I finally landed on the one I'm on now. And the one that I'm on now, they actually said, no, you can't use her anymore. And I just got tired. I said, God, I'm tired of trying to find these therapists, and I don't want to pay out of pocket because my job pays for it. I don't want to pay for it. I'm tired of switching people. So God, make a way for this person I finally got with, make a way for it to work. About 2 months later, I got an email that said this person who was no longer in network is back in network. I was like, thank you, God. Fixed it. But my point of bringing this up, and all the three that I've been in, and I begin to tell things to them that I have never talked to y'all about. Some people know about it, some don't, but just a lot of things that my family don't even know about. My therapists were like, you handle stuff well. The stuff you telling me, you shouldn't be as sane as you are. But here's the thing. Many of the things that I've gone through are simply because of the calling on my life. I wouldn't face it if I wasn't trying to move in the direction of God. I wouldn't have faced it if I had not married the person I married. And vice versa, Devin wouldn't face things had she not married who she married. There's some stuff she has to go through just because she's attached to me and the call on my life. There's some stuff I have to go through just because I'm attached to her and the call on her life. And there's some stuff y'all got to go through just because you say Deliverance Temple is my home and the devil don't like us because of what we stand for. So sometimes it gets dark. It gets grossly dark. It gets depressingly dark. It gets tears in the middle of the night dark. It gets cry myself to sleep dark. It gets I'm confused dark. It gets I want to quit this whole Christian thing dark. If you've been a Christian and you've never wanted to quit Christianity, you ain't never been through nothing. But there comes a time where you don't know if you believe in God. You don't know if you believe in Jesus. You don't know if you believe in the devil. You don't know if you believe in yourself. You want to go somewhere and just forget it all. That's a part of this life. So Paul, all the stuff he'd done right, here he is in the middle of the shipwreck. And so what we're going to do, we're going to spell SHINE again. We're going to use another acronym. The first, serve him in everything. That was something that was not original to me. That was something that I got off of the internet. But this are points that is going to spell SHINE, but these are things that I came up with. And here's the point number one, and the reason why I was leading up the way I'm leading up to. Number one, we got to start in the dark side of it, suffering. Unfortunately, suffering is a part of our shine. Yes, Lord. We cannot shine without suffering. Yes. And here's the thing. God has promised us a lot of things. We've been promised no weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. Sometimes I feel like the weapons is really working. God, are you talking about no weapon? I got one weapon that's been wearing me out for the last 35 years. But the promise is it's not going to prosper. It's not going to be able to prosper. But here's another promise that we forget about. The scripture says this. Jesus said, in this life, you will have persecution. Yes. He said, he talks about later, said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But let me let you know that you can be saved and go through at the same time. Amen. Sometimes you will go through because you're saved. Sometimes you will go through because you're pressing for your deliverance. Let me talk to men who decided I am going to shift my player mindset and I'm going to try to focus on one woman. You start focused on that one woman, other women will come out the woodwork. You know, I always liked you. Where were you when I was trying to be a player? Now I'm trying to focus on one. Folk are coming from everywhere. The cashier, you smell good. I mean, the devil will send it from everywhere just because you trying to do right. Amen. Same thing with you or women. I'm going to work on my celibacy journey. Everybody jump in your inbox. Folk, you ain't seen. And we ain't talking about the ugly ones. You always have the ugly ones in your inbox. But when you try to do right, the good-looking ones come. It's demonic. And it's not always easy. Here's the thing. It would be easy if evil always felt bad. But some evil feel good. Some addictions, they actually lift the stress, make you feel better, but they leave you worse off. And so now you have to battle. You have to struggle. Another person said it this way. They said, I could easily live saved if it wasn't for other folk. As long as it was me and Jesus, this walk would be easy, but you got to live with other people. People that will tempt you, and some people will tempt you to do wrong, and other people will just get smart with you at the wrong time. I'm already at my limit, and I come home and I say, and I'm just making this up as an example, Alana washed the dishes, and she want to get smart with me. This is just the wrong time, sweetheart. After I done paid for everything and done everything. And it's not always that your kids are always trying to be bad people, but sometimes the devil get in the folk that you love the most to irritate you. Sometimes your boss will expect you to do your job and somebody else's job. And they know you're doing multiple jobs. And then what they want to do is when they want to punish somebody, they punish the ones who doing the most work. The folk that is lazy, they leave them alone and they come and bother the folk who do the most. It's the devil trying to get at you. And here's the thing, when you're trying to do things right, sometimes the Lord will ask you to bite your tongue. And you well within your right to go off. Give them a piece of your mind and God tells you to hold your peace. I remember when I was working in Indianapolis and Allison, one of the worst jobs that I had, not because it was necessarily just a bad place, but I was driving 90 minutes one way to go to work. And I kept ending up in the bad jobs. And I had the seniority to be on the better jobs, but I kept ending up in the bad jobs, found out that because I was a good worker, they when I would put in for stuff, rightfully so, they would take it out and move it around so I would end up on the bad jobs because I was good at what I was doing and they wanted me to keep the production going, but I had a right to be on something better. And once I figured it out, I was ready to go off and God said, hold your peace. Why? What would you mean hold my peace? And then I got in the department with a Christian man. Oh, whew, thank God. Finally got a fellow saint of God who gonna look after me. And he treated me worse than the other folk. Because I was making his numbers go up. And God was making me bite my tongue. But here's what I didn't know. See, I didn't know that I was going to come from there. And then I was going to come back and end up getting back into Marion. And then the very next year, I was going to become the pastor of Deliverance Temple. So what he was doing, he was working on my patience because he was elevating me to another level. But he didn't bother to tell me that's what he was doing. So I had an attitude. And then once I finally got through the work schedule, sometimes there'd be an accident on 69. And I'm stuck in traffic for an extra 2-3 hours. And all I want to do is go home. Have to be back, get back up at 4:30 in the morning to drive back down there. But God was working on my patience. Sometimes you are called to suffer. The Bible says this of Jesus. It says he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Now, wait a second. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The scripture says everything that was made through him. And then he had to come to earth and learn about the world he helped create and had to learn it through suffering. So you're not so special that you can't go through. Let's move on. Let's pick this up because I'm taking longer than what I want to. 1 Peter 3:14.
But even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear them or be intimidated.
Whew, my God. Read some more. Check.
For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil.
Some people are like, Pastor, I'm going through. No, you reaping what you have sown. Some of the stuff you're going through is not the devil. That's you done got that in on yourself. But the Bible says it's better to suffer for doing good. You mean to tell me I can do right and the wrong things still happen to me? I can preach that God is going to turn things around and things get worse? Yeah, sometimes that can happen to you. Let's continue to read. And this puts it in perspective.
For it is for Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit.
Here's the problem that we have. The one that we serve, he suffered more than anybody. So it's hard for us to really get in a complaint session with God when we understand the cross. And also knowing he suffered for us, for you and I. Because some of the sins that we've got in that he's forgiven us from, that like I shared with you on Easter, that yes, it cost him greatly. So sometimes God leaves us on hush mouth. You ever tried to complain to God and he basically just tell you to shut up? Or he don't tell you to shut up, he just lets you see something. You fussing about this, that, and the other. You got bills that seem like they done got out of hand. Now, bills that you done signed up for, but they done got out of hand. Then you turn the TV on, and here go an Ethiopian with flies around their head saying, can you give a penny a day just so they can eat? And that's God telling you, shut up. You look up, you see a roof over your head. Open the refrigerator, you see food all in there. But that don't always make you want to shut up. Sometimes God done that. I done turned the TV on and I flipped the channel. I don't want to see that right now because I'm still frustrated with you, God. But as they said years ago, your arms are too short to box with God. All right. Yes, that's right, Sister Fanny. Amen. Now, this is just off the subject just because I'm going to pull a Royce Mitchell and just take a rabbit trail. Every time I see Fanny on that billboard, I get blessed. And just driving down, and she got her arm out. It's almost like saying, welcome to Deliverance Tip. Fanny said, I got two of them. In other words, don't shortchange me, baby. I got two of them. But I thought I was getting on a rabbit trail, but that actually is in line with what God is saying. If you know anything about Fanny, her life has not been easy. Yeah. Challenges with the things that she's challenged with, but you wouldn't know that by spending time with her. Amen. Because when you are around her, she just make you feel good. Yeah. Make you feel bad because you've been complaining. Yeah. Spend some time with Fanny. Fanny will make you smile. All right, let's move right along. Acts 27.
After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss.
If you know anything about the story, he basically told them, we shouldn't be doing this. And this is what I want to add to you, and I want to just put this in the atmosphere because it's true in many cases. A lot of times our suffering don't have nothing to do with us. Somebody else made a decision that forced suffering upon you. It could be the government. It could be your spouse. It could be your children. It could be your bosses. It could be a myriad of things that cause you stress and trouble. I remember the day that I heard that my grandmother-in-law, so my wife's grandmother, Mother Trina Brooks, we had just finished a funeral here, and at the end, I was putting the church back together. Thank God because of Brother Will and things, I don't have to do that anymore. But I was putting the church all back together so we could have church on Sunday morning. I get to the door and the phone rings and find out that she has passed away. Now, I'm just finishing the funeral and I haven't even got out the door and finding out my wife's grandmother has passed away. And I'm thinking, man, we were praying for her and we're just hoping the best. And it didn't work out like we thought. So I'm driving home to Wheeling to get to house and trying to check on my wife, see how she is, maybe I'm going to need to check on my father-in-law. I'm just you, when you're a pastor, it's hard for you to grieve because you're trying to check on everybody. But I got my own grief. And it was raining bad, raining down Wheeling. And I'm just driving, trying to go where I need to go. This is 2019. I had got my new Cadillac that was used but new to me in 2018. Hadn't had it very long. And there was a big hole in the middle of Wheeling I didn't know anything about because the rain had filled it up. And it looked like street. And I'm driving to check on my wife, and boom, I hit it and bust my whole front tire. Had to get out, and I don't have a spare. I can't change it. I got to call somebody to help me out. And I'm standing in my suit. Rain just covered me. And I'm like, God, how much more can I take? This is all happening in one day. And I don't know why I asked that, because from 2019 up until this present time, all I've done is dealt with death. They used to come in waves of three. It's just been all over. And guess what? It's a part of the call of God on my life. And some of it don't have nothing to do with me. It ain't got nothing to do with me, but it still puts me in a mode of suffering. And sometimes that just happens in your life. And same thing with Paul. And Paul said, this wasn't me. Y'all shouldn't have done this, but it has affected me. So somehow you can go through depression when you find out how somebody talking about you. We're not weak people. I don't care about somebody talking about me. It's who. It's somebody asked me, what's more important to you, respect or loyalty? Loyalty is way more important to me. Because if you're loyal to me, you'll never disrespect me. I need somebody who's loyal to me when they can't see me and I'm not in their space. I'm not in their. But some folk are loyal in your face. And then you find out how they really feel. I'd rather you tell me how you really feel so we can avoid each other. Don't fake the funk. So sometimes you could be gone good because you thought you had a friend and found out you had a frenemy the whole time. What nothing you did is something that happened to you. David said, it was not my enemies that reproached me, but it was the one that was close to you. Betrayal is a rough thing because you can't be betrayed unless somebody was close to you. But here's the thing, even Jesus had a Judas, so you're not special. We all go through things. All right, so let's keep on moving.
But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed.
Now he's rising up, and y'all didn't listen to me, but now y'all gonna need me. I wish I could stay on there, but I'm not. But let me just throw this out there. Sometimes the folk that talk about you got to come back and ask you to pray for them. Read this next thing.
Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me.
I would give it to you, but you can look it up on yourself to see how many people that was on that ship. But when the angel of God came, he stood beside Paul. Some people are frustrated at how God walks so closely with you, but he don't know everybody like he know you. All right, read.
And said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you.
I always say this before, the plane can't go down because I got on it.
That's right.
See, when you have a calling on your life, even the people that don't like you are blessed because you're there. See, the folk on your job may not like you, but the job can't blow up because you work next to them. And so while they're frustrated with you, they should be happy for you, because God loves you so much, nothing can mess up because you're there.
That's right.
Read this.
So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me.
Here's a side note. We're going to have several of them. Here's a side note. Go ahead and put it up. The suffering wasn't because of me, but the deliverance will be because of me. I'm not suffering because of something I did. It was something they did, something you did, something the government did. But the deliverance is going to come through me. So that's why God has allowed me to suffer. And here's the thing. When we look at Job, the Bible says that Job's friends, the ones who said you must have done something wrong to be in the situation you're in, the Bible says they didn't get blessed until Job prayed for his friends. Yes, they added to his suffering, but they only got blessed because of Job. Yes, the man walked out of your life and divorced you and left you with children, but baby, he's going to be blessed because of you, because he's still connected to you. And guess what? Sometimes God moved folk out of your life because they can't handle the blessing that God's getting ready to do in you and through you. And they just get the extra overflow. They get blessed with the extra overflow. Somebody ought to be glad that you are living. All right, let's add this. This jumps all the way to the end because I got to move. But I feel like just really preach. I don't have my bow tie on, but I feel like taking my time. Read this.
And the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land.
So the end up that the whole ship got wrecked, the whole entire ship, but everybody ended up making it to the land. Some had to get on planks. Some had to get on the safety boats, but everybody made it to land. And so I've always said this, and I've said this because it's something Bishop Mitchell would always say, just stay with the ship.
Abide in the ship.
Yes, deliver to, but we done gone through some wrecks. We done gone through some bumps and bruises. And no, we're not a mega ministry. We don't have everything we need. And yes, I'm still a pastor who still has to go to work. I don't have a salary, but just, baby, just stay with the ship.
Abide in the ship.
Even when it looks like it's broken and falling apart. And that's what y'all have been doing. Just stay with the ship. Because it's going to be seen why it was so hard. There are some people you have no clue why it's been so hard for them until they get to the other side. Then you realize, I understand why you went through what you went through, because the blessing is so great. I always think of this. I always think of Oprah Winfrey, who is Oprah Winfrey. But before she was Oprah Winfrey with the weird name, and she was a name that was chosen from the Bible, but they actually spelled it wrong. It was Orpah from the Bible, but they misspelled it, and she became Oprah. But she was molested at an early age. And she was not a good-looking little girl. She wasn't very fair to look at, was ugly, and dealt with her shape and her size. But now she's billionaire Oprah. And here's the thing. If she had to trade it, she would never trade what she went through because of where she ended up. And let me tell you, Deliverance Temple, yes, the ship has been battered and it's been bruised, but you wouldn't want to be at any other church, because once you get to the other side, everybody gonna know why you had to hang on to the ship. Which brings us to point number two, and now we're gonna turn it in a more positive direction. It's all about the healing. Yeah. You know, sometimes in order to be healed, you gotta get cut. The surgeon has to cut you sometimes in order to heal you. Do you know some of the women sitting in here, they're all dressed up and nice, but they have a scar on their body, because in order to deliver, they had to have a C-section. They had to be cut to pull life out. And some of y'all, life has been hard. You've been cut on, but you're producing life. You're delivering things. You are Deliverance Temple. And it hurt to push out what you push out. But baby, when you get to your blessing, everybody going to know. All right, now read this, and let me show you how deep it gets. Because the devil is persistent. Somebody said, there's nothing good I can say about the devil. And the preacher said, I can say one thing good about the devil. He's a persistent cuss. Means one thing about him, he don't give up. He more persistent than a lot of church folk. Church folks say, I got members that I ain't seen in 6 years. You don't have a member, Pastor. Have you been online? No, I didn't know y'all had online. Y'all not as persistent as the devil. So why don't you fuss at him? Because I don't have time to fuss at them, because I got a devil that's persistent. So he is persistent. So let's continue to read. Now we're in healing mode, but watch this. Acts 28, 1 through 5. So now 27 ends with the shipwreck, and they just get to shore. 28 starts with them getting ashore.
Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta.
Which means for miles, they didn't even know where they were. They finally landed, shipwrecked. They found out they were on an island called Malta. Read.
The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold.
You come to a season of your life when the people you know may not treat you right, but strangers start doing stuff for you. Where a season of unusual kindness starts happening for you. You go to Starbucks and somehow somebody in front of you done paid for your drink. And let me tell you something. It's good to pay it forward, but sometimes you don't always have to pay it forward. Just take the drink and go on about your business. Well, ain't that being selfish? No, but sometimes you come in a season when you've given, you've stretched and done. Sometimes you come in a season, I'm taking everything that comes to me, everything that God blesses me with. Sometimes you got to stop being so nosy. What do you mean about that? Well, I'm looking at the bill and it don't add up. And it looks like they say I owe less. I'm about to call. Stop calling. Leave some stuff alone. Because sometimes God trying to bless you and you're so unused to blessing, you start messing stuff up. Shut up and take what God is doing for you. Sometimes I done got out of places and looked at the receipt and confused. I'm like, well, I need to go back. No, don't go nothing. Go on, go home. God has blessed you. I'm not talking about stealing and getting over on folk. I'm talking about when God do stuff supernatural. I tell you all the time about the $1,200 suit that I paid $0 for. Many of y'all have heard the story, and it was around my birthday, and I was not trying to spend any money, and I felt like God was telling me to go into Brooks Brothers. I had been in Brooks Brothers a whole bunch of times, and I was like, this is nothing but my flesh. I don't need to go in there. But I felt something in my spirit say, go into Brooks Brothers. When I went into Brooks Brothers, I was looking around and didn't see nothing like it. And then I seen this one suit that jumped out to me and it said $1,200. I know this is the flesh. Let me get up out of here. I ain't spending $1,200 for no suit. But as I was getting ready to move, some lady said, do you know that this was a suit that was tailor-made for somebody and they have not picked it up and they've just left it here? It's just been sitting here. It looks like it might fit you. How about you go try it on? I was trying to walk out the store and a lady tells me, look at me and said, you might need to try this on. I go in and try it on and it looked like it was made for me. But it was still $1,200. So I took it off, put it back on the rack, got ready to walk out the store. But God told me, go and ask them, since it wasn't made for you, and basically it's a secondhand garment because somebody else has tried it on, ask them how much would they take off of the $1,200 price. And they were like, we normally don't do this, but we can't sell it to anybody else because it wasn't made for, it was made for one person. So they said, we will give it to you for $800. That was still more than I wanted to pay, but that's $400 off the sticker price. And so I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and do it. So I pulled out my Brooks Brothers credit card because I really didn't want to spend the money, didn't have the money. And I pulled out my Brooks Brothers credit card and put it on there and took the suit on home with me. And I've been wearing it ever since. But one day I was happened to look at my Brooks Brothers statement because I was getting ready to close the car. Because sometimes you know you done spent enough and you don't need it anymore. So I'm getting ready to cut the card up, throw it away. But decided to look up my bill and I don't see the $800 suit anywhere. So I was like, maybe sometimes you know how credit card companies are? It takes another month. Let me wait another month. It still didn't show up. I decided to wait another month. On the third month, it still didn't show up. I realized that God gave me a suit for free. Unusual favor. Unusual kindness. Now, after the third month, I cut the card up and Brooks Brothers better not come back because they seen me online. No, you can't come back and get nothing. God did it. Okay, that's right. Won't he do it? Go ahead and And I almost walked out of a blessing. And every time I look at it, God know how to do things supernatural. All right, let's move on. I want to keep going because I want to get back to the persistence of the devil. Come on, read.
Paul gathered a pile of brushwood and he put it on the fire. A viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand.
He survived a shipwreck. He runs into unusual kindness. They're doing a fire for him. And Paul, being the person he is, he's helping them build the fire. And here comes a snake and attaches itself to his arm. Read this.
When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live."
Something got to be wrong with him, because he came through the shipwreck, but a snake done jumped right on him. But look at this next verse. A lot of y'all Bible scholars already know. Go ahead and read it. Pull it up.
But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects.
Look at that word, "and suffered." We started this shine with suffering, but you come to a place of healing where even when you should suffer, you can't suffer, because you got to shake it off anointing. The devil jumping on you and you just shake it off. Folk lying on you and you just shake it off. Somebody reject you, you just shake it off. They tell you you can't afford it and you just shake it off, because the God that I serve, sometimes the loan officers say you can't have it and you shake it off. Because I know God somehow, somewhere. Because I'm not in the mode of suffering. I'm in the mode of healing. And when I'm in the mode of healing, what should take me out can't take me out, because God is all over me. So I'm shaking it out. Now you got young folk and young girls want to shake their booties, but I don't have to shake my booty. I'm shaking my anointing. I'm shaking my power. I'm shaking my praise. Because I know God is working on something. Like I told you before, I got a feeling everything gonna be all right. Some of y'all are walking in a house and realize this ain't my last house. Bishop Clark, the founder of this church, had just got him a new home. And my grandfather, who's a prophet, who's a good friend with Bishop Clark, was coming to see his home for the first time. And they say my grandfather walked in and Bishop Clark was showing him the house, proud of the new house. And my grandfather stopped and looked around and shook his head and said, "Bishop Clark," well, he was Elder Clark at the time, "this ain't your last house." And they said, Elder Clark was thinking, "Man, you crazy. You know how much it costs for me to get in this house?" But within a matter of time, they had a bigger and a better house, because sometimes we get excited and settle. But when God get ready to bless you, he'll blow your natural mind. Read, let's put this side note up here. This side note says this: in healing mode, the suffering that was designed to take you out no longer works. Let's keep on reading. Let's go. So we got S and H. S is suffering, H is healing. Acts 28:6-9, we're going to read that.
They kept expecting him to drop dead, but when it was obvious he wasn't going to, they jumped to the conclusion that he was a god.
Ooh, that folk watching you, expecting you to fail, waiting for you to fail. They smiling, but they watch it. They waiting for your business to close. They waiting for the repo man to grab your stuff. It used to be they'll tell you, "Hey, the repo man around the corner, go move your car." But some folks so jealous and envious, they waiting for you to fall. They watch your Instagram. They watch your Facebook. And they pray for your downfall. But baby, I'm not falling. I'm not failing. God got his hand on me. The calling of God is on my life. I'm not going down, I'm going up. You might as well get on the bandwagon, because where I'm going, you gonna want to be. Yes. All right. Amen. But then there's like, he got to be a god, and this is what's gonna happen. Some folk gonna realize God got to be on your side. I'm just joking, but let me say this. Trish too crazy for her to be blessed like this. God got to be doing something in her life. Andre, as foolish as you are, this can't be nobody but God. All right, let's go on and read the next one.
The head man in that part of the island was Publius. He took us into his home as his guests. drying us out and putting us in fine style for the next 3 days.
You go from not eating for 14 days, wrecked on the ship, to being with the head man, dining in fine style. That means the top man on the island now got you sitting with him. Let's read, and his name Publius. I'm gonna throw something in there about that. Go ahead and read.
Publius's father was sick at the time, down with a high fever and dysentery. Paul went to the old man's room, and when he laid hands on him and prayed, the man was healed.
Woo! Go from being shipwrecked to having healing in his hands. That's why the snake couldn't do anything to him, because the venom of the snake ran into the healing that was in Paul's life. All right, let's read. So then now he's with the head man, and just so happened that the head man has a father who's sick. Let's read some more.
Word of the healing got around fast, and soon everyone on the island who was sick came and got healed.
They didn't have Twitter, they didn't have Snapchat, didn't have Facebook, they didn't have telephones, but word traveled all around the island that healing was happening, and people begin to come. Let me put this other side note up. You shift from suffering privately and personally to healing others publicly. Now, this man's name was Publius, which is very close to public. Let me let you know, your private pain is about to shift into public power. And you're going to walk in something that people can't even put their fingers on. And when I say people, I'm not just talking about regular people. I'm talking about heads of state, CEOs. You know, when the CEO comes and visits your job, it's going to be some of y'all where he going to look at you, or she going to look at you. After all the people they can talk to, they're going to want to interview you, because it's going to be something about you that carries such a public anointing, because private power always shits into a public arena. All right? And so that leads me to I. And here it is. Put up I for us. 3. Increase. You're going to run into increase. He went from being almost shipwrecked to dying, to getting on the land and almost dying from the snake. But now he's healing everybody. Increase. And see, at first he was only speaking to the people on the ship. Now he's speaking to everybody on the island, and everybody has to come to Paul. Sometimes God puts you in a position that everybody got to come through you. Whether they like you or not, you hold something on you. You hold something in you. They got to stop by you. They got to come through you, because you suffered, but now you're in your healing mode, and your healing mode has shifted you to a place of increase. Now let's look at what the scripture says. We're going to add another scripture in here. I'll go ahead and read this in Psalms 115:14 from the A clause. It just simply says this: the Lord shall increase you more and more. For some of y'all, this is the brokest you're going to be. This is the sickest you're going to be. This is the most addicted you're going to be, because you're about to increase more and more. Some of y'all are going to be so different in 2025, you won't even recognize the 2024 you, because he is going to keep increasing you and keep elevating you and keep shifting you, that you look and say, my God, I don't know what you're doing in my life, but I can say it this way: this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Look at this, Acts 28:10.
We spent a wonderful 3 months on Malta. They treated us royally, took care of all of our needs, and outfitted us for the rest of the journey.
Took care of all of our needs and treated us royally. See, you think you just go to church here, but you don't know that purple means royalty. And what we're doing, we're training your spirit to be treated royally. To be treated in a man, because when you suffer, you always end up on the bottom of the barrel. But it's time for you to shift and start being on top of things. It's time to time for stuff to start happening for you and being treated royally. And some of y'all, especially in your older age, after you done taken care of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, and for some of y'all who was there with the women empowerment, Lady Ramsey told some of y'all grandmothers to stop, and I said it too, stop babysitting all the time and get up and go somewhere yourself. Go be somewhere. Go do something. Go enjoy. Because it's time for you to be treated royally.
Yes.
Especially some of y'all women been working hard all your life.
Yes.
Ain't never had a good man to contribute. You've been the provider. You done everything. It's time for you to start enjoying some stuff and having some stuff. And some of y'all men who've been working, you got these women in your life that don't appreciate nothing you've done. All they do is complain. You don't work your fingers to the bone. It's time for you to be treated royally.
Yes.
And you may say, I don't know how it's going to happen. God can bring somebody into your life. Let me say it this way. When the devil wants to pull you down, he brings somebody into your life. And he's only a perverter. He only sees what God does. So that means God is the same way. When God gets ready to bless you, he can bring somebody into your life. And it's not always a relationship. Sometimes, as far as a relationship of a male-female relationship, sometimes it's just a friend. Sometimes you just bump into somebody you know. A friend of mine who's preached here, Brother Josh, who's a pastor of City Hope, he was going through a rough time where he was basically had to deal with his denomination, some things that were going on, and was struggling because he was the only one speaking truth to power, being the young man. They're trying to silence him. Kind of rough situation. And he was telling me that he was going to try to go on the sabbatical. So I'm going to pray that you'll be able to get away and get some time away. Next time we talked, he ended up getting a whole month away. He began to be able to do a lot, be able to take his wife and then come back and get his kids later. And he was doing something, I don't remember the whole story, but somehow it runs into a college professor who knows somebody who has several homes. And they had a home in California that they were not staying at that looked over the ocean side. And they said, if you need to go there, they will give you the keys to the code that which you can go there for 2 weeks with your wife and enjoy everything paid. Didn't have to pay for nothing. He was suffering one moment. The next moment, he's being treated royalty and accidentally bumped into it. Didn't ask for it. Some of y'all get stuff because you begging all the time. Always beg. No, he didn't have to beg. He didn't have to get on Facebook and ask, does anybody have this I can borrow? When God get ready to bless you, he'll bump you right into a blessing. And the last part said, all our needs were outfitted for it. So that brings me to the fourth point. So we have suffering, but then you get into healing, you get an increase, and then in, you get into your needs being met. See, somebody said this, I don't know what preacher said it, it said sometimes we're so broke our needs have needs. Look, I need everything. It ain't no, let me knock on your door and ask, can I borrow some sugar? I don't even have a sugar bowl to put the sugar in if you gave me the sugar. I can barely get up out my bed to go and knock on your door because my legs are so crippled and I'm suffering so bad. Some people get in a season where you need everything. And here's a problem. Some of us get in a season, it's a spiritual season, where we have everything we need on the outside, but we have nothing we need on the inside. And so people look at you and they call you blessed because you drive a car or you have a house. But on the inside, you're broken and you're hurting. But I'm here to tell you, you're about to move in a place of increase where your needs are about to get met.
Yes.
Needs that you have never spoken about. Needs that you have never told anybody about. Somebody just going to show up and begin to meet your needs and give you things that you hadn't even asked for. And above and beyond all you can ask or think. Do stuff that you hadn't even thought about. God about to blow your mind.
Hallelujah.
Now read this, Philippians 4:19.
And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to Acts 28 and read Acts 28 and 11.
After 3 months, we set sail in a ship.
3 months is 90 days. So that means for 90 days, they got the royal treatment. They were shipwrecked and they were lost for about 14 days. And it was a little bit longer than that. But Would you trade in 14 days of trouble for 90 days of royalty? Yeah, you would. That's not a bad trade-off. All right, continue to read.
After 3 months.
Go back. She didn't finish the whole thing.
We set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria with the twin gods as a figurehead.
Jumping down to verse 16.
And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him.
What I didn't explain to you that Paul was trying to go to Rome, but Paul was arrested. Paul was a prisoner, and he appealed to Caesar, so then he ends up in prison. So now he is supposed to be a prisoner, and he's being treated royally. And now he's able to have his own place just with a guard. So basically, now he's on house arrest, but he's got a lot of liberty. Now read this, the next verse.
For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him.
Wait a second. A prisoner rented a house for 2 full years? Something ain't adding up. You were shipwrecked. Now you in prison and got enough money to rent your own house. God, when God bless you, it don't make sense. Read the next one.
He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Without hindrance. They told him, when you go try to go to Rome, because all he was trying to do was tell about what God had done in his life, you're going to have trouble. He said, I'm not going to worry about the trouble. I'm going to go. And he had a bunch of trouble. But then he got to a place where he was being able to do what he wanted to do without hindrance, and he was still a prisoner. Now, let me put this side note up for you. This is something interesting. Most Bible scholars agree that Paul wrote Galatians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Philemon, Philippians, 1st Thessalonians, which is 7 of the epistles that we have, while he was under arrest in Rome. He a prisoner, and the devil can't stop nothing. We read and stuff years and years and shouting over stuff that he wrote while he was in prison. It should have been in a bad place, but God knows how to take your prison and turn it into a palace for you. So that shifts me to my last point, which is E. Is nothing but this effectiveness. So you go from suffering all the way to being effective. See, when you're suffering, you don't feel effective. But God's going to return our suffering and go to healing, increase needs met, to the point where now we're just being effective. And so let's look at James 5:16 and 8 through 18. Read that.
Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much.
Here's the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is we're not Paul. I don't feel like I'm as good as Paul. I'm not anointed like Paul. I still got some sins. I still got some issues. So, Pastor, you're talking about how God going to turn stuff around and turn my suffering. But I still got some junk in my trunk, some mess in my life. And the scripture says, oh, by the way, I do know that you're not all together. So what I'm going to have you do is just confess your faults one to another. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to allow you to be healed when you do life with each other. Yeah. And so as long as you don't fake like you got everything together and you're able to talk to one another, I'm still going to hook you up. But I messed up, but I'm about to hook you up. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to have you bump into somebody else who's messed up. They may be messed up in a different way than you're messed up. But when you talk together, you realize God is on my side and God is on your side. And we're going to come together and we're going to pray together and we're going to confess together. We're going to talk together and we all going to get healed. Yeah. And then the effective prayer of a righteous man. Now, hold on. Go back to point up just to show you I wasn't playing with you. Go backwards. Don't move until I tell you to move. Go back to the other verse. The verse. Therefore, confess your sins. Don't they say sins?
Sins.
And then Then it says pray for one another. But then it says the effective prayer of a righteous man. Wait a second. Didn't you just say we sinning? But he said, you may have sins, but don't call yourself sinners, because I call you righteous. And as long as you confess the sin has no power over you. Because last week I told you the one thing you do that lets the light in that sin is blocking is all you got to do is become righteous. How do you become righteous? You trust the righteous one who paid the price for you to be righteous. So even though you have sins, I don't call you a sinner. I call you righteous. And the effective prayer of the righteous people, it does great work. Now, read on, and this helps us, and we're coming to a close, I promise.
Elijah was a man with nature like ours.
See, when we read about Elijah and all the miracles he did, he seemed like he's supernatural. But the writer here, James, said, let me prove it to you even more. Elijah was a man just like us, with nature just like us. Excuse my terminology. He got horny just like you do, but God's hand was on his life. We're going back to that same verse and read it.
Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months.
He was a regular man, but he prayed earnestly. He didn't play with it. He prayed earnestly, and it stopped raining. Let's read the next verse.
Then he prayed again. And the sky poured rain and the earth produced its fruit.
Earth produced its fruit. A man. Remember 2 Chronicles 5, 7 and 14. If my people, look, you got power. Yes. If you earnestly pray. And right now as I'm talking, Mother Mitchell has an idea to get an intercessory prayer team in Deliverance Temple and get us organized to start praying. Because yes, you're just regular human beings. But when you begin to pray. And you begin to come together. God moves heaven and earth for his people. So, got to get us out of here. So, go ahead and put up conclusion. Some of y'all favorite part of the message. Here it is. Let me say this to you. Here's the side note. Last side note. And then we'll go to a confession. Your shine may feel defeated because it started with dark suffering. But it will end in bright effectiveness for the kingdom.
Yes.
You're about to be effective for the kingdom of God. So now that's going to lead us to our confession. Here's our confession, and then we will close. The confession is this. It's my own confession that I made, and it has a little rhyme to it. I'll say it first, and then we'll confess it together. I don't play because I know I'm on display. And I will shine in such a way that hell knows God has the final say. I'm going to say it again. You don't have to repeat it. I'll say it again and then we will repeat it. I don't play because I know I'm on display. And I will shine in such a way that hell knows God has the final say. Yes, the devil has thrown some stuff at me and at us, but what he needs to understand, God has the final say. And if God wants to deliver Deliverance Temple and bless Deliverance Temple and prosper Deliverance Temple and heal Deliverance Temple, guess what? All we got to do is shine, because it's a foregone conclusion. God has the final say. Now let's all stand to our feet. In the back, make it transparent with the words still up there. And we're going to repeat it together. I don't play. Because I know I'm on display.
Because I know I'm on display.
And I will shine in such a way.
And I will shine in such a way.
That hell knows.
That hell knows.
God has the final say.
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 One final time. God has the final say.
God has the final say.
And I'll add this. If he say you're blessed, you are blessed. Let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you have the final say. And what you've told us in these last 2 weeks, as we looked at the eclipse and thought about it, we are going to shine. And just like the eclipse and the moon was only able to block for 4 minutes, and darkness came for 4 minutes, we have been in darkness and been blocked for a little while. But just like the moon came and blocked, the moon got to get out the way so the shine can shine. So God, make us shine. We're going to shine from the rooftops. We're going to shine from the mountaintops. We're going to shine in blessing. We're going to shine in healing. We've already been in the suffering, but turn it so we'll be effective for your kingdom. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you need prayer for anything, you'll come up here and we're going to have people come and pray with you. God bless you all. Have a great, wonderful, and a marvelous week.